Well, it's been a while, but greetings to all.
Greetings. Happy Sabbath.
And before I start this message, my best friend and wife, Jean, and I would like to thank Howard and Tina Marchbanks and all the people who gave service at this feast site in 2024. You know, through your efforts, Jean and I found the feast spiritually profitable and fun. For the people who travel, Jean and I look forward to hearing all your feast stories and look forward to Mr. Segley's presentation on parts of ancient Greece. Brethren, sometimes in this message, when I refer to God, I will be referring to both our Father and our Lord Jesus. Let's start the message. When difficulties come into our life, do we grumble, complain, and resist? Or do we respond the way God desires, with a joyful attitude and an understanding that a trial is an opportunity to learn lessons and mature physically and spiritually? Brethren, James commands us to consider trials as all joy. Makes no sense unless we see trials as being opportunities for learning lessons and growing and maturing physically and spiritually. How many people here have received a UCG anointed cloth letter? All right, there's quite a few. Well, in that letter, paragraph 5 instructs a person on what to do, and one instruction says, additionally, it would be good to ask God if there is something that you can learn by going through this trial. Let me repeat. It says, additionally, it would be good to ask God if there is something you can learn by going through this particular trial. You see, brethren, in every trial, it is important that we learn all the lessons until God becomes willing to end the trial. Brethren, we have a choice. We can either waste our trial and not learn the lesson, or we can embrace the trial, learn the lessons, and implement the changes in our physical and spiritual behaviors. Brethren, there is a second reason to learn the lessons and implement the changes. And the reason is this: if we refuse to do our part, God may not do their part. A good example of this principle is found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. In these familiar verses, Jesus reminds us about the importance of doing our part before our Father does his part. I'll start reading what Jesus says in verse 14. He says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forget men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." See, I could be wrong, brethren. However, I believe in these few verses, Jesus clearly reminds us of a principle that we need to do our part before God may do his part. Here are a few other scriptures that support the principle that we need to do our part before God may do his part. John says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all. And James says, if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. Brethren, I call these if statements, because if we do our part, our Father and our Lord Jesus may do their part. Brethren, in this message today, we're going to review one of my many lessons I strengthened as a result of my recent trial with cancer. This spiritual lesson involves the same spiritual lesson the Israelites learned and strengthened before crossing the Red Sea. The familiar story is found in Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. In this story, the Israelites who were camping before the Red Sea lifted their eyes, and behold, they saw the Egyptians marching after them, and they became very afraid. With Pharaoh's armies on one side and the Red Sea on the other, the Israelites felt trapped with no chance to escape. The Israelites were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out, "For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Brethren, the Israelites thought they were going to die. But Moses said to them, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today." Psalms 37:7 says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." Now, brethren, let me share with you how God helped me mature in using this spiritual principle, stand still and wait for the Lord. You see, on May 17, 2024, at 1 p.m., I was scheduled to receive my last of five radiation treatments. My five radiation treatments lasted 10 days, and during those 10 days, I was praying that after the last radiation treatment, all my tests would show no evidence of cancer. On May 17th, that same day, about 2:30 in the morning, I was awake writing a letter to God on my computer. This is not unusual because I often wake up in the middle of the night either to pray, work on a message, or to ask God for inspiration and guidance during trials that I might be going through. This event happened almost 13 hours before I was to receive my last radiation treatment. For 16 months, I had been doing everything God had inspired me to do. But I thought if I had more people praying for me, it would be better. I wanted to do one more thing. Immediately, the words, "Be still and wait for the Lord," came into my mind. Brethren, even though I thought I was facing possible death, I believe God was using this incident to teach me how to better use the principle, "Be still and wait for the Lord." Being still and waiting on the Lord has been very difficult for me during this trial, which started February 2nd, 2023. However, during these many months, I have grown and have become smarter on when and how to implement the godly principle of being still and waiting on the Lord. Brethren, sometimes during this life, after we have done our part during the trial, we must go through a time of being still and waiting for the Lord. It's easy to be still and wait for the Lord when we face a trial which has minor consequences. For example, it's easy to be still and wait for the Lord if we are driving around a crowded parking lot waiting for a parking space. That's easy. It's also easy to be still and wait for the Lord if we are asking God to help us find something we have misplaced. Brethren, trust me, it's much more difficult to be still and wait for the Lord when you think your life may depend on it. For 21 days, I was still, and I waited for the Lord, and He delivered. On June 7th, 2024, I met with my oncologist and learned that there was no evidence of cancer in all my tests. And in addition, on September 20th, 2024, 3.5 months later, I learned there was still no evidence of cancer in all my tests. God is good, and through them, all things are possible. Brethren, I ask you to please continue to pray that my next test in January 2025 also show no evidence of cancer. Brethren, let's conclude this message by reviewing the four valuable takeaways of this message. The first takeaway is this: trials are designed by the Lord to give us the opportunity to learn lessons and to strengthen and mature physically and spiritually. Let me repeat. Trials are designed by the Lord to give us opportunities to learn lessons and to strengthen and mature physically and spiritually. The second lesson is this: we will waste a trial. We will waste a trial if we choose to not learn the lessons. The third takeaway is this: sometimes after we have done our part during a trial, we must go through a time of being still and waiting for the Lord. Let me repeat. Sometimes after we have done our part, that means everything that God inspires us to do, we must go through a time of being still and waiting for the Lord. And the fourth takeaway is this: if we do our part, God will do their part. If we do our part, God will do their part.